A lot of surprises today, including randomness and what it isn't, as well as order and what it isn't. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the emotional, the spiritual, psychological, physical, and everything in between. Looking at life through one of the most ancient fabrics of Christianity, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 572 of The Next Step. I invite you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Don't you love it when everything just falls into place? I know. You look at the way I work and how I work. You say, who are you to talk about things falling into place? I got like piles of paper, books. I got technology coming out under the hood. Yeah, we're trying to work and drive. But you know, I'm talking about enjoying that order. You know, it's like that jigsaw puzzle, that piece when you put it in and it just really fits. You try to make it fit. But when it hits that right spot, it's just the perfect piece in the right spot, and it goes right into place. Chaos, order. Now, today, I want to start off by talking about something that I have seldom talked about. It's about this idea of evolution and the beginnings. Okay? But bear with me. Before we go there, because I don't want to give you just the ordinary stuff. I want to really ask us to think a little bit, okay? Ask us to think beyond what we've heard, beyond the stories, beyond the imagination of some great, great thinkers. But let's think for ourselves for a few minutes. Now, you look at order. It's a natural part of life, right? In fact, science tells us that things from chaos go into order. And just look at water. It seeks its own level. It reaches its own level. And so all of a sudden from this chaotic situation, you have things falling into place, into order. And we've done this with life, too. We've seen that life evolves. And there are people, even in the religious community, myself included, who can buy into evolution, right? We have evolved. You look at just the way life is. We have come... look at animals, okay? Let's just look at some basic animals. They have stripes. They have dots to adapt to their environment so that they can survive. We call it survival of the species. They have adapted to not only their physical environment, their social environment. Look at how people get into different places and we adapt and we have evolved into who we are. But then there's still this big question. Okay, we have evolved and physically and socially we have evolved. But where did it all begin? That's the big question, right? Because we can talk about in the religious community as a prime mover, as somebody who started it all, who said, let there be. And all of a sudden, there was, right? We can talk about a force. We can talk about an energy that is outside of time and space, that is extraterrestrial, but also extra life. It's beyond what we know as life. Something beyond, great, divine. We ascribe all kinds of things that our human imagination allows us to do. And we can even say that, you know, that force told us that this has happened. And so we have religion talking about the beginnings. We have science that, you know, for what we teach, most part, we teach that randomly that there was a set of circumstances that randomly made this happen. That there were building blocks of life. Amino acids, proteins, molecules building on one another, dividing and conquering and becoming bigger and bigger and evolving, and people, societies. We have full science systems, right? We have biology, which tracks how these things evolve. And we have social sciences. We have anthropology, which looks at the social networks that we create, how we interact with one another. And you put them all together, and we have the system of evolution. And here we arrive. We arrive the 21st century, standing tall, our head up high in the sky, and saying, we have reached the zenith. Look at all that we have done. We have come and we have arrived today. But again, you still have that problem. What about the beginning? How did this all start? Right? And that's the big question. It's a big question, which unfortunately we don't give enough time to really think about. And by that I mean is, yes, we do have religious answers. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Boom. What that light is, we still don't know. Because obviously it was, according to that same narrative, it was created a few days before the sun was created, according to that narrative, right? We have science telling us that, yeah, okay, these random acts happen. And they all came together. And you remember a couple of years ago, I went up to Oregon to witness the eclipse of the sun. And at that time we were talking about, look at the way things are aligned. I mean, that moon comes right between the earth and the sun at the precise moment. So precise is it that they've calculated it. And they will tell you, they could tell you when these eclipses are going to happen to the second. They are so calculated. They are so in rhythm and in harmony. But interestingly enough, this is not just a phenomena of the moon coming between the earth and the sun, but it's also a phenomena of the scale. In other words, that moon is exactly at the right distance from the earth so that it covers up the sun completely. And if that moon were just a few thousand, 100,000 miles farther back, which at some point it's going to be, it would not. It would be a little bit smaller, and it would not completely cover up the sun. But right now, the way it is, it completely, and we have what is called a phenomena of the solar eclipse. Happened by random? Probably. That distance is probably a random act, but what about life? What about the order that we're looking for? How did that all happen? Is it just chance? Just all of a sudden? I mean, this is what I mean. We haven't given it enough of a chance to really think about it beyond just to say, well, it's a random act, or to say that, you know, well, God said it, or some force, whatever religious tradition. There are many, many religious traditions which have a beginning, you know, that there were gods playing in the sand and they sent down, you know, there's all kinds of mythologies about this too. Now, wouldn't it be great if you could put it all into order? Sometimes you can't. That's what I want to talk about today, because just a few days ago, I was listening to this beautiful podcast. It's one of my favorites. It's called Astounding Universe. They're usually about 6 to 8 minutes long. It's Bob Berman and Jim Metzner. And they do it with fun. But this particular episode was about randomness. Now, randomness has been one of my big topics in life, because random really truly means that you cannot predict. There is no predictability to the outcome of that set of circumstances. That's what randomness is, right? I was first involved in this when we were programming computers. And one of the first things that I programmed was a simple blackjack game. Because it was simple, because it was based on if-then statements, right? If a card, if you have two cards and the total of that card is under 17, then take another card. If it's not, then stay. And then compare these two cards to the other cards. Depending on the totals, it would produce a winner. It's basically a very simple program of if-then statements. It's a bunch of statements that are about the order, about the evolution of a process between taking one card, two cards, building on those cards having a total, and then comparing them. That's the evolution. But how do you get there? How do you start? You need to start with a random set of circumstances. And what we had then was basically a random number generator. It was a small little program that we wrote. It was just a couple, I don't want to even say lines of code, but we would write this small little formula that would take, basically it would be a factor. Here's the randomness of it, okay? Are you with me? I hope you're with me. But basically, we can generate a random number. You can have a computer take a random number, and in fact, any number between 1 and a million, 1 and a trillion, whatever. And the way you could do that was because a computer is just basically a dumb machine. A computer needs to be programmed. So how do you tell a computer to pick a number randomly between, let's say, 1 and 21, okay? 1 and 52. Let's use a card deck, okay? So we want, here's the problem. You want the computer to pick a number between 1 and 52. Before you would evolve that program so that the evolution of that program would be that, for instance, number 26 would equal the king of clubs, for instance. Okay. So before you would give each number a value, you need to get there. You need to start off with something random. Do you see where I'm going with this? If you don't, let me spell it out, okay? Because this is what we're talking about, evolution and the beginnings. Creation is something completely different than evolution. We evolve. We have evolved. You can accept that. We can all accept that. But how did we get to that point where we evolved? How do you find that first randomness? So here's the challenge. You turn on a computer and you say, give me a random number. It will always select the same number, but the randomness is turning on the computer and running the program. What do I mean by that? I want to walk you through this because this is really important, okay? Basically, from the moment you press the on button on your computer, and by the way, I'm talking about like 40 years ago when we were programming still. This is before, you know, the big Windows screen came up or the little Apple came up on your screen, okay? This is just basic code. The minute you press the on button, okay, the computer is now on and millions of processes are going on. In other words, that electricity is running through the circuits. So between the time that you turn it on and the time that you say run this random number generator, there are possibly 3 seconds, possibly 4 seconds, possibly 2 seconds, possibly 10 seconds. And during those 10 seconds of time, this computer is going through many millions of different cycles. So there's your randomness. we would take it and we would basically, it was called a pseudo-random because it wasn't completely random, but basically you're telling the computer that calculate the time between I turned it on and the time that I ran this program. Calculate that time exactly to the nanosecond and pull a number from that. And then let's divide it into 52 different portions and we'll take one of the 52. Okay, so what's happening here? We're telling the computer, which is just a dumb machine, that somewhere along that way, between 1 and 10 seconds, find, and there are so many different variables that it would seem random. It would seem random. The truth is that if every time you turned it on and ran the program, let's say at 10.365 seconds you ran that program, then every time exactly to that particular time span, you would get that same random number. But because there are so many millions and millions and millions of variables that it seems random. And when it comes to life here on Earth, there are so many variables. For instance, we see animals. They've adapted themselves to their environment, right? We see them, the stripes that they have, and each stripe is, they say on zebras, the stripes on a zebra are so random. They're like the fingerprints that we have. Each zebra is unique. Random stripes. Let's not even look at the zebras. I said it, okay? Look at your fingerprints. There's what is there now? About 8 billion of us on this planet? And each fingerprint is different from the other? Well, because there are so many different variables that you get to that. So, in this program, Bob Berman, Jim Metzner, and I will definitely have a link on today's show notes, so you do want to check it out. I highly recommend that you listen. It's only 6 minutes long. They talk about randomness and the urban legend that the power of random chance is there to produce amazing results. In this case, even life. That randomly all of these things came together. These amino acids, these building blocks, these evolution, everything came together so that at 21st century, we are standing there, and this all began by random chance, just completely, totally out of chance, that we even have species on this planet that we haven't even identified, that the entire photosynthesis process, that we exhale carbon dioxide, and the plants take it and suck it up and give you oxygen, and the idea that there's water that has salt in it, and water that has fresh, that is fresh water, and we could drink one, where the other one would kill us, and all these different factors and variables on this earth comes together, that they started off randomly by random chance. And the myth that they talk about, or I don't think they use that word there, but that there is this urban legend, that's what it is, that there's this urban legend that somehow if you got brought enough randomness, you would eventually have something. And in particular, let's say you had a million monkeys. You had a million monkeys, and each monkey could type 60 words a minute. That's respectable. But what would they be writing? Well, the monkey hasn't processed anything. He'd be just basically hitting keys. Okay, so you put a typewriter. Do you know what a typewriter is? That's the one before computers. The typewriter actually had like the same keyboard that you're accustomed to, the QWERTY keyboard. But each letter that you hit would poke a hole through this ribbon and it would print on a piece of paper. So you take a million monkeys, you set them up with typewriters and you say, go at it. And they would just be hitting the keys. And randomly, what would it take? What are the odds that randomly they would create, let's say, for instance, the works of Shakespeare? That at some point, if you had enough monkeys and you had enough time, and at some point the works of Shakespeare would come out of one of these monkeys, right? Given enough time, Well, when you're talking about Earth being here right now, what are they estimating? The life of the universe is 13 billion years? Billion? Yeah. A million is a thousand thousands. A billion is a thousand millions. Wow! The entire universe has been here for 13.5 billion years. Humanity has been here for a couple million, or what is it, 100,000? That somehow we would evolve by chance. So you take a million monkeys, you put them in a room, you give them a typewriter each, and they are typing away 60 words a minute. And what Bob Berman does is he calculates this, but not on the works of Shakespeare. He takes a simple line, a line out of a novel, which we all know. He says, let's take the first line from Moby Dick. Call me Ishmael. With the spaces, call me Ishmael, is 15 separate characters. So to type that, you would type down on your typewriter, on your computer, I guess. You could be on a screen too. A word processor, okay? So 15 keystrokes it would take to say, call me Ishmael. So you've got a million monkeys and you have them pounding 60 words a minute, right? And this is 15. So every 60 minutes they would do 60 strokes in 60 seconds. Each minute they would do, yeah. Okay, each stroke is 1 second. So there'd be 15 keystrokes, 15, so every 4 seconds, you have the possibility of a call me Ishmael. Those 15 strokes would take 4 seconds. Yeah, is that right? Yeah. Okay, so he did the calculation. You have a million monkeys, 60 words a minute, or 60 letters a minute, pounding at it. How long would it take? How long would it possibly take for them, for one of them, one of this million monkeys, to come up with the words, call me Ishmael? 3 words, 15 characters with the spaces. Would it happen? And the possibility is very easy because you just do the math. He came up and he did the math. One of them would succeed. One of the monkeys would succeed in doing Call Me Ishmael in exactly 38 trillion years, or 3,000 times the age of the known universe. 38 trillion years, or 3,000 times the age of the universe. And it comes to the conclusion that no, it's not going to happen. Call me Ishmael. You could put all the monkeys together. They're not going to produce this one line. And what he comes down to saying is something very important. He says randomness has far less power to achieve results than is popularly imagined. And when he comes to say what it means, its implications for where does life come from, is that we've got work to do. It's not enough when you don't understand something to just say that it was randomly, just as we, you and I, both accept that it's not enough to just say that, well, it miraculously appeared. Because behind that miracle, there has to be something. There has to be some kind of a system, some kind of an energy, some kind of a force. And that's what theology is, right? We try to find out what that force is. And so we define that force. We call it God. What is that force? These are all ways of explaining the chaos, of getting back and finding that randomness and trying to put it into order. So this was really beautiful to hear the scientist talk about it, because he was talking about the silliness of saying that what we have today just came out of randomness, random chance. And he, in fact, cites someone named Fred Hoyle, who was looking at the complexity of life and everything. And he said, for this to come out of chance would be just as imagining a tornado going through a junkyard, sweeping through a junkyard, and then at the end of it, seeing a perfectly standing operational jumbo jet standing there. That's what it's like to believe that just randomly life happened. And you know, this is what it's about. It's about us to think. It's about for us to engage in that dialogue with a creator, with a force. You know, something I've thrown out at you, and I've shared this many, many times. What is a blessing? A blessing is luck without the element of chance. Now, apply that same definition to our discussion right now. Does it fit? Does it work? Absolutely. What is life? It's a blessing. What is life? It's basically luck. We're here, but there's no element of chance. Therefore, well, I'll let you make those decisions. And that's rightly what it should be. Each of us is called to look at our lives, to inspect it, not to be scared to engage in these kind of mental activities. Does it lead anywhere? Yes, it does. It leads to a comfort. It leads to a place where you can feel comfortable with your life, with your understanding, so that it becomes a piece in that puzzle. And yeah, it may not click properly, it may not click all the way, but it does give you comfort to know that, yeah, that piece can fit in there. It does fit in there. And it's okay. It's okay if sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of gap. But it's okay. Because you've arrived there. You're putting those pieces together. And each one of us tries and we try and achieve and we add to that puzzle. It's like this giant jigsaw, and we're just adding to it. And we ourselves become part of the puzzle, part of the machine. Let's take a break right now, and I'm going to play for you the song of the day. And it was at USC that we heard Element and Aradabanjan last Saturday. I'm going to be sharing with you some thoughts about this conference called Innovate Armenia. It has to do exactly with another dot in this connection of dots today, from randomness to order. But before we do that, let's listen to Aradabanjan and the Element Band. They were in prime form. I mean, this, I have to tell you, was one of the best concerts I heard. I've been to many Element concerts. This one was really up at the top. And their use of, their use of the cello in particular. Let me share this one with you. Thank you. That was Sari Achchig, and that is Element Bend. At USC, just this last Saturday, they had an Innovate Armenia conference. It was really fantastic. I'm going to be sharing some other thoughts with you, too. Thoughts you might not hear otherwise, but I do want to share because they are concerning. But before doing that, just wanted to share with you that this particular song, the entire concert was about an hour. I'm going to have a link on today's show notes, not only to Element Bend. Do check them out. I always put links of whoever we play here because I think it's important that we support these musicians. But also, I'm going to put a link to the conference. And if you watch the conference, it's right about 2 hours into the conference that the Element Band performs. There's some good background about each of the songs that are being played. An interesting scenario, an interesting weaving of these songs together. It was really one of the better performances I've seen, not only of just Element, but in general. I was just very intrigued by it. The mannerism, the way it came off, the choice of instruments. Anyway, I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you watch it. But for right now, this was Sari Achchig, Element Bend. Of things that I want to share with you today. One of them, I'm going to talk very briefly about Sufra. We screened that movie last night. Dish Divi did it. A wonderful, wonderful audience and reaction to it. It was in Glendale. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. If you'd happen to subscribe to the service Hulu, Sufra is available. You can watch it there. But I'm going to share more of that next week because what I want to do is also talk a little bit about Dish Divi, the people who are making it happen. And I want to try to see if we can do an interview with them. So that I'm going to hold off. But just to let you know, last night I was very honored to be part of that. We had a discussion afterwards and we had a remarkable opportunity to see a group of refugees finding hope in technology, finding hope in opportunities, in entrepreneurship. And to be honest with you, I was going to speak about it in more detail, but the more I thought about it, there were so many factors involved that I want to make a little bit more out of the show. So bear with me for an extra week and I'll try to have that ready for you next week. And it should be much nicer than for me to just talk about it. Let me go on to the second one. This was last Saturday. We were at USC, in USC, University of Southern California. They hosted the fourth or fifth annual Innovate Armenia Conference. What a wonderful conference, just people getting together talking about, and this year they were talking about policies in Armenia, health, education, what are some of their goals, what are the directions they're heading in. Yes, a few minutes ago I played for you the musical, from the musical interlude, that they featured Ardabanjian and the Element Band in really... It took me someplace very, very good. It was just 1 hour of pure delight. And I want to share with you some ideas that came out of that I need to share with you. But first of all, when we got to USC, it was kind of interesting because they had like this cardboard cutout that you walk through. And up on the sign right in front of us, it said rethink, relearn. All these re's, reinvent. I'm going, wow, this is pretty cool. And you know what? All of a sudden it hit me. Hey, what have we been doing for several years? We've had a conference that's called Reclaim. Reclaim the Armenian Church, something that belongs to you, taking it back. And it was surprisingly not up there, not only on the sign, but even within Innovate Armenia. And I bring this up because when you think about Innovate Armenia, you think about, why are we Armenian? Where is the innovation? Wasn't it that alphabet that alphabet that was created by the church to give meaning and structure, to take that chaos and to put order to it. That alphabet of 36 letters, wasn't that created by which Armenians were able to define, to write, to have their literature? And we talk about the importance of the church, but it was absent. It was absent from the conference. And this is really something that's it's phenomenal when you think about it, because for a group of people that really want to claim their ancient Christian roots, they're really hard-pressed to find any today. And it always astounds me how quick we are to talk about the first Christian nation being Armenia. And yet when you look around, you say, what? Christian? Are you sure? Are you sure? Take a pulse, you know? So the reclaim was, it just struck me because the wording on it, the reinvent, the relearn, the re's, there was a wall of re's and reclaim was not there. And it just signaled to me that, what about the church? The church is not there too. And I'm sure that those of you inside, and this is quite different, those of you in the Armenian community know what I'm talking about. It's like you'll go to a even within the church, they will organize events where they have opportunities for you to talk and be mentored by a vast number of different professions except a priest. It's always interesting to me, the comparison with the Italians, right? Italian, you tell your mom, hey, mom, I want to be a priest. And, oh, is there, he might as well have said, you know, I'm God. You know, it's like, wow, the enthusiasm, the encouragement that comes with that statement. Whereas in the Armenian community, I want to be a priest. Why? What's wrong? Can't you do anything else? Yes, the scream. Oh my God, what's wrong with you? Come on, let's go see somebody. Quick, we might as well nip this in the bud. We don't want this to go any further. Stop. Oh, please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. Just keep it between us until we can resolve it. I mean, it's really, it's sickening. It really is. I mean, when you talk about, here is a calling that a person has, and he takes people from cradle to grave. And it's such a calling that, you know, honestly, you can't pay me enough to be a priest. It's really wild. If you did this just on basically as a job, there's not enough money to pay somebody to do this. And yet it is so gratifying, so fulfilling. I've always said this. It's like, at the end of the day, you look at your day and it doesn't resemble any other day. 36 years I've been a priest. Every day is a new adventure. There's something new happening. Yeah. Does that mean that it's all joy? It's all celebration? No, but you know what? It is an adventure. It is excitement. You get to be in some of the most beautiful places in the human soul, in the spirit. And why aren't we celebrating this? Why aren't we sharing this? And so there I was at USC, Innovate Armenia. We're talking about Armenia and all the different dimensions. And you're saying, and the church? And the church? Well, oh yeah, we'll show you a few pictures out there. You see out there on the plain, along with the beautiful grass, with Mount Ararat in the background, there is a church. Ooh, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. But you and I, next step, we know it's more than a church. And I don't know what your particular background is. I know we have a lot of listeners who aren't Armenian, but you do have some kind of background where you know. And there's a reason why you are here. We call the disenfranchised. There's a reason why you're listening today, right? Something hasn't clicked. It hasn't fallen into place. It's that piece that's missing or is just not perfectly aligned. And so we're all searching. We're all looking. And it's only the church that could take you on this magical mystery tour. Seriously. Because the church, as the body of Christ, is spiritual. It's got one foot here on earth. It's got one foot beyond. When we're talking about what we talked a few minutes ago, we were talking about bringing that order to chaos. Well, it's a way of looking. It's a way of understanding. It's a way of aligning. And at the same time, what was interesting and sad for me was not that just there was an absence of church, but there's an effort to do away with the church. And you know that. And this goes beyond, it's not just in the Armenians. We know that secularism is on the rise and any institutional. I mean, we've seen this. This is more and more prevalent now as the 21st century is moving forward. And we're seeing the likes of Donald Trump's. We're seeing people who just have this absolute disrespect for human life. And so why would we respect an organization which values that human life? We see this disrespect in even the laws that supposedly are there to defend human life. Well, we saw this last week in Alabama with this ridiculous law about abortion, banning abortion at all levels. And then you realize that, well, they're just playing a game, they tell you, that we're just trying to challenge it so that it goes up to the Supreme Court. Do you know why Alabama's why it's so ridiculous? Alabama came out with this law that they outlaw abortion, and anybody who helps in that abortion process, the doctors, they could face up to 99 years in jail. What? Yeah, for performing an abortion. And the ridiculousness about this is that go look at any statistic about the prison systems that we have here in America. You will find Alabama at the top of the list of the worst prisons, the worst disrespect for human life. So really the challenge there in Alabama that anybody needs to point out is that, wait, you've got human life. You've got life that are somehow incarcerated for whatever reason they are. And certainly there are valid reasons why people are taken out of society, incarcerated. And so you will abuse them. You will rape them. You will take advantage of them. Their human life. But when it comes to unborn life, somehow that takes precedent over human life that is right there. So there is this hypocrisy, along with just the bizarreness of the law. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that right now. I just want to, that's like as a side note. What I'm talking about is that there's this disrespect for life. And here we have an opportunity to really point to a respect and a love for life. And so, you know, today I was in full-day conference with leaders in the Glendale area. We were talking about respect for life among minorities, about racism, you know, how important it is. And that's another issue that we got. There's so many things we could talk about. But it's the church. It's not politicians. It is not politicians that will bring together people. It's the church, because the church has that magical power. It has the power of Christ, which is the power of love. And so there's this concerted effort to bring down the church. And I'll give you a couple examples, and these are just minor, but for instance, there is a song called Where is God? Now there is, I've shared with you, what are we, 11, we're almost going to hit our 11th anniversary. How many times I've shared with you, it's okay. You can question. You know, God is big enough for us to question. Jesus from the cross, why have you forsaken me? Reciting the Psalms. People who have been through Derzor, who have been through the Armenian genocide, we hear of stories. Where is God? And so in 1965, there was this song that was written, Where Were You, God? And rightly so, you know, 50th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. They came out with the song, very popular. Okay, we understand that. But to emphasize this now, 60, 70 years later, as people were asking, where is God? And then to follow up that story, this is what was taking place last Saturday. We were told that this story took place, and then the Catholicos of blessed memory at the time, Vazgen the First, he sort of put his approval on there. Actually, he did. What he did is, if you remember back, I'm sorry, not too many of you remember, but what was going on, there was, we were, the 60s, 70s, 80s were times of turmoil, and religious leaders were coming out and giving endorsement to people who were protesting and were giving messages of peace. And that's what Vazgen the First, as any good father did, he was encouraging that reform. But it's presented today like, okay, here's this ballad against God, and you know, even the church leaders disapproved of it. Then you go on and then you listen. And another one, Gomidas Vartabed. Now, last month we did an entire conference on Gomidas. We reclaimed Gomidas. Gomidas is a Vartabed. He is a monk of the Armenian Church. In other words, on Sunday mornings he went to the Holy Divine Liturgy, the Badarak. So we were told last Saturday that Gomidas Vartabed found that many of the songs, many of the hymns that we use in the church had European influences. Well, this is nothing new. Yes, we knew that. We knew Gomidas had cleaned up a lot of the music. But it was said in such a condescending manner that, like, oh, you people are listening to these things that are not Armenian. Okay, fine. Now, let's just take that. Then we're told that there is this world called Duhov. Duh is a Russian word. And they admitted it. They said, it's a Russian word. And it has been Armenicized. That's my take on it. By adding the Ov, Duhov, with Duh, this passion, with this excitement, we do things. The Russian word is okay to accept. In fact, so okay that we've now created a song, and we're going to play that song for you. And they played it, and we listened to it. Well, Gomidas is just, oh yeah, he was the one who found out that all the religious, the church songs, many of those songs were actually influenced. Well, like it or not, folks, we are influenced by everybody in the world. In fact, isn't that what evolution is about? We evolved and we adapt and we pick bits and pieces. And what we are today is a product of our past. And we have arrived over here. And don't ever, if you walk away from this show that we've been doing now for almost 11 years, just realizing one thing, that it's all relative. What we call Armenian and what we call Orthodox tradition have evolved. Things that, I mean, as a diaspora, as Armenians, we're taken out of our homeland. We were thrown out throughout the world. Yes, what takes place in Iran, the Armenian community, it's legitimately Armenian, just as what takes place in Syria is legitimate Armenian. And somehow all of them are legitimate except when you get to America, because, you know, that's the big melting pot. And that's kind of the fake. No, it isn't. It's legitimate and it's real. And that's why we were so excited a couple weeks ago when Bishop Daniel was ordained and consecrated. Says that life has gone on and we have evolved and we are okay. We have arrived. And so going to this conference, first of all, it was beautiful. Second of all, I invite you to watch it. Thank God that they've put it all on the internet. It's on YouTube, and there will be a link on today's show notes. Do check it out. But be extra attentive to the manner in which it is delivered. Ask yourself, what is being delivered and what is the information that's getting crossed? As I tell you all the time, that it's not only what's being delivered, but how it's delivered. You read an article about a guy biting into a hamburger and he bites into a horrible rodent, and you say, oh, that's awful. And you say, where did that take place? Because I do not want to go to that place. And you realize that it takes place at the McDonald's down the street from you, and you are horrified until you read the byline, and it's written by a guy named Jay Box. And you realize that Jay Box is your Hanami's uncle, Jack, and who happens to be the competitor of McDonald's, and you say, wait a minute, maybe there's a reason he's put that in there. It's no different than when you read the Bible and you say that there's a reason why Matthew wanted us to understand it in this way, why Luke wanted us to understand it in this way, why John shared with us this particular story. There's reasons. And that's the dialogue that you have. These are dialogues of faith. This is what brings us, evolves us, taking that chaos and bringing us into some order. But it's not just a random occurrence of events, but it's an order which we call the church. Anyway, I needed to share some of that, get it off my chest. And I do invite you to watch it and share with me some of your thoughts. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a few moments to make my announcements. And we'll call it a day, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to our dear listeners for all your kind words, your notes, and especially your support through prayer. It's those prayers that keep us going. Hey, listen, you know, a lot of stuff has happened over the last week, and we just don't have enough time to process it. So you will be happy to know that coming up on our 11th year, we will have a new means of communications. It's the glue that holds us together. For instance, last Sunday, In His Shoes was named Chef of the Year by Essentia. It was such a beautiful event. It was an opportunity for us to celebrate really one of the legs of our ministry. The California State Assembly gave us accommodation, and there was all kinds of things that I do want to share with you, and they are important because they signal a new chapter in our lives, one that we've been talking about, the In His Shoes ministry. In other words, since 2003, we've been talking about it. We've been doing it. We've been sharing the goodness that, hey, we are not victims. There are no open wounds when we have healed. All we can do is helping others. And that's part of this ministry. I do invite you to our website to check it out, to read about it. Like I said, next week we'll be talking a little bit about Sufra, about this dish divvy. We'll be talking about more about our ability to help others. And it'll come up with, well, I'll share in more detail what happened at the Essentia event. But I do want to put them together as something very special. So look forward to that next week on the Next Step. I think I'm going to call it a day for right now. I think you got the gist of it. We have moved from chaos to order, haven't we? Listen, catch us at all the usual spots on all the socials and, of course, at the mothership inhisshoes.org. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-ball. One top minutes.